Dancho will be telling us about topological approaches to Kashiwara Verne.
Thank you, and thank you to the organizers for inviting me to spend a month in one of my favorite places in the world with many of my favorite people. I'll start out by insulting you all by stating a very trivial fact. Suppose you have some finitely presented group. Let's say it's generated by some generators G1 through GR, and then you have some relations R1 through RS. And then for the group algebra of this group, I don't know what field I want to use, maybe Q. And pick another algebra of your choosing, and what I want to find is some homomorphism from the group algebra to this other algebra. So what does this entail? An algebra homomorphism. Well, to figure out what this homomorphism is, the only thing I need to decide is where the generators go. So this amounts to finding F G1 through F GR. But I can't send the generators just anywhere because there were some relations. So these have to satisfy the equations that come from the relations. Okay, so really, problems in topology and problems in algebra. The point of my talk is that there's a particular problem in algebra which we all know and love, the Kashiwara Verne problem. And via this idea, that translates to a problem in topology, which is finding homomorphic expansions for a set of tangled surfaces in four-dimensional space, which I will explain in more detail, called W-foams. So this is some four-dimensional topology. But we also heard in, I think, at least three talks that the Kashiwara Verne problem corresponds to another problem in topology, which I will draw a yellow arrow because that arrow is almost the same as this, but not quite exactly. And that is homomorphic expansions for the Goldman-Thoret of the algebra. And my question is, what is the relationship between these two topological setups? Is the only relationship between them through the Kashiwara Verne problem? That would be very disappointing. maybe it's true. I will not answer this question, so just so that it's not anticlimactic at the end when you're waiting for a punchline and there isn't one. And I guess I should mention that this is a result of Drawer and myself. It was published in 2017, and now we're starting it, I can't even remember. This is Anton. Where are you? Kawazumi. Yusuke. And sorry. Alright, so I'll get started on this triangle. And I'll first explain these four-dimensional Naughty Objects W foams pretty briefly because because many of you have heard me talk about this, so I don't need to spend a lot on the foundations. But maybe even before that, let me remind you of the slightly more specific, slightly more general structure that we'll be using, very analogous to that trivial fact. And again, if you were here, if you know this, or if you were here for George's talk on the first day, this will not come as a surprise, but just so that we are all on the same page. So let's say that K is some finitely presented algebraic structure. And I'll write of a topological nature which has no actual meaning, only in indicating what sorts of examples you should be thinking about. So what is an algebraic structure? This is in the sense of Drawer's talk last week. So you have some sets of objects of maybe different kinds, and then between these objects you have operations, and the operations can have any number of inputs. So zero inputs would just be a constant. One input would be a map. It could go from the same set of kind of object to the same kind, or it could be like a group multiplication would have two inputs and one output, or I don't know, it could have seven inputs, just for four, and one output, and so on. So that's an algebraic structure. And examples that I want you to think about are the pure break group, so the pure break group would be the context which fits exactly into that trivial fact. Not quite fitting into that trivial fact is the actual break group, because in the actual break group we'll want to have objects of different kinds, and the different kinds will correspond to cosets of the pure braid group. So braids will come in all kinds of different types depending on what the permutation is that they define. Or knotty tribal graphs. Which has a very fun kind of strange algebraic structure on them, which I think is due to Dylan. Or think of tangles. Some people like to think of tangles as a category, but some other people, including me, like to think of tangles as a planar algebra. And I'll explain that very briefly later. And then moving towards these four-dimensional world, there's a welded break group. So if you I think Dror mentioned this in his talk, you know, braids, normal braids, are points moving in the plane. Welded braids are circles moving in three-dimensional space. And the actual crossing, the braiding, comes from not just switching positions, like in the plane, but switching positions by flying, one flying through the other. That's where the interesting braiding comes from. The other is just it's symmetric, so it doesn't create any actual topology. All right, and then we'll talk about the circuit algebra. Of welded tangles or double tangles. Okay, so these are some of the algebraic structures that I'd like you to keep in mind. And then with these algebraic structures, we'll play this expansions game, which has been mentioned in 15 different talks. So take some field, your favorite field, say Q, form the well, this is not quite the group algebra, so this is allowing formal linear combinations of elements of the algebraic structure, but only elements of the same kind. So when I do this to the pure grade group, I don't get the group algebra of the pure grade group because I don't allow linear combinations of grades with different permutations underneath them. All right, but still, you're turning this thing into a disjoint union of vector spaces.
Just want to ask a stupid question. So, finite algebra and circuit algebra, these are different notions. So
yes, and I'll say something about that in a minute. And then inside that algebra-ish thing, the augmentation ideal is the same as always. So it's linear combinations where the coefficients sum to zero. So you can form this ionic filtration. And in specific examples, I'll tell you what it means to have to take powers, but basically use binary operations or more than binary operations to multiply stuff as if it was just a group multiplication. And then for the degree completed associated gradient. And so this, in these contexts, always has some sort of combinatorial diagrammatic description. In the classical context, like braid groups or knotted triangle in graphs, it's spaces of chord diagrams. In this welded context, it will be arrow diagrams, so the chords will have directions, and I'll say a little bit more. Then this is just the group algebra, and this is just the ID filtration. All right, and then what you're looking for is homomorphic expansions for this structure. So there's a filtered map. So this is the same as saying that if you complete QK, you have an isomorphism, so it's kind of a formality. All right, and what does homomorphic mean? Homomorphic means that it's compatible with all of the structure of QK, and in particular, for every operation, whatever the operations for K are, for each of those operations, you have to write a commutative diagram. You have to write a diagram which has to commute. So, for example, let's assume we have an operation mu from K with two inputs and one output. Then we have a diagram QK tensor QK to QK. This is the mu, and then here I can do Z tensor Z and get into A tensor A, and here I can do Z and get into A, and here I take Ger mu, so the associated gradient of mu, and this diagram will commute, but it should commute for all of the operations. Okay, and then going back to the trivial fact, I will erase the trivial fact and replace it by a different trivial, analogous trivial fact, is that if K was finitely presented, then homomorphic expansions for K are in bijection with solutions of a set of equations in A. And in this context, this side is a topology question, and this side is an algebra question because K is algebraically slash combinatorially described. And A is a gradient space, so that's an important note. And my one of the statements in this triangle is that for K equal if you choose K to be the set of W phones, then A, what you get on this side is the Cauchy-Mayer root equations. We're solving the Cauchy-Mayer root equations. So I'll tell you a little bit about this result, and then I'll try and fail to match it up with Antonin, Isikan, Florian, and Nari's result. So what next? We should define W phones. Braid group, and this is a souped-up version of the valid braid group, very much along the lines of passing from braids to tangles, and then including some additional features like trigonal vertices. So this is a circuit algebra generated by some stuff modulo relations. But first, I'll explain what a circuit algebra is. So, when you think about tangles, as I said, you can think about tangles as a category. What that means is each tangle has a bottom and a top. So each tangle is a morphism from points on the bottom to points on top. And then you can compose tangles by stacking them on top of each other. But you could also say there's no reason why some points, some endpoints of a tangle should be distinguished as the bottom and some other endpoints should be distinguished as the top. You could just take tangles with their endpoints are a set, and then you can compose them any which way you like by connecting endpoints, specifying which endpoint to connect to which endpoint. As long as these connections are planar, so tangles are given by tangle diagrams, which are drawn in some circles. Here's one tangle, here's another tangle. And then if I want to compose them to one big tangle, then I have to tell you how to connect the ends. Let's say I'll connect this end to this end, this end to this end. And then these will be the outside ends. So this is called the connection diagram. And these connection diagrams are planar because you can't introduce, like, if you're allowed to introduce extra crossings into the tangle, then that's not allowed. So all these connections have to fit in the plane without any crossings. But this is a planar algebra. But then a generalization of this is a circuit algebra where those connections, where any connections are allowed. So basically, it stops being really topological, right? In a planar algebra, a connection diagram for a planar algebra tells you which endpoint to connect to which endpoint, and it's drawn in the plane to make sure that there are no crossings between those connections. Circuit algebra, connection diagram, we call it a wiring diagram, but really the diagram part is just there for prettiness, because all it is a pairing between endpoints. And how I draw those connection arcs is completely irrelevant. Whether they're crossings or not is completely irrelevant. I can reroute them any way I want, it's still the same connection. So let's say I have a crossing and a thing, and my circuit algebra connection diagram can look like this. So there's labels on all the ends to make it well defined. I didn't write the labels because I want to be quick and sketchy. Yeah.
So isn't that just a graph with an abstract graph with cyclically oriented vertices?
No, labels. It's a.
I mean, you're describing an abstract graph versus a planar graph. Right?
But it's not even. It's but not even a graph, it's a pairing. So you
so
have
the vertices
sets.
Have some structure.
Yeah, the
vertices. Put stuff in the vertices.
The, oh, you mean this is the vertex, this is the vertex. Yes. Yeah.
So that's a circuit.
That's a circuit connection diagram. This is a planar connection.
So a priori planar has small number of...
smaller number of wire diagrams. Mm-hmm. And if you like to think of them as graphs, actually, some people, I think many people don't like the notion of a circuit algebra, and many people insist that we should describe them as some kind of operatic structure. And Marcy and I have been talking, and it is actually the same structure as some sort of operatic structure, and that operatic structure is called the real prop. So Marcy and Eva and I writing a little note where we write this down in full detail once and for all. But I still like circuit algebras. I think it's a very good language to talk about virtual tangles. Virtual tangles, W tangles.
If we draw different diagram, the combinatorial is the same, it's the same.
Sorry? If we redraw the diagram, like if I take this edge and reroute it here, doesn't matter, it's still the same. So it's only the combinatorial. Of course, when you're defining an algebraic structure, you want to be able to compose operations. And how composition works is pretty self-explanatory. If you have a wiring diagram and another wiring diagram, you can shrink one wiring diagram and then plug it into one circle of another wiring diagram and just delete that circle, you get a new wiring diagram. It's just that the wires have to match up when you plug it. And same for circuit algebra. You shrink a circuit connection diagram and plug it in, and there you go. Okay, so.
Yeah. So some of the crossings are really under and above, and some are just singular crossings.
Very important point. So in a virtual or W tangle, so virtual and valid tangles are the same pictures, just modulo valid tangles have one more relation. And they have crossings. In fact, the crossing is one of the generators. I'm going to draw them in a second. And those are actual over and under crossings. And then you have these crossings that come from wiring diagrams. And those really don't even exist, right? They are just part of the combinatorial, part of the circuit algebra data. Not really features, not really topological features. So part of the advantage is that, I don't know how many of you work with virtual tangles, but if you present virtual tangles as a planar algebra, then you have to take two kinds of crossings, this crossing and the normal crossing and the virtual crossing, and then you have to describe how they interact. So you have a whole bunch of randomized relations, which are virtual or mixed, whatever. And in this context, you don't have to, because how those virtual crossings behave is completely described by the definition of a circuit algebra, which I didn't give in detail, but basically described by the simple statement that they don't matter. They're just artifacts of how you drew the connection.
So when we have two diagrams, there are many, many, many ways you can compose them.
There's many, many, many circuit algebra products of two valid tangles.
And with the yellow lines, I'm also allowed to have under over crossings, or is it
So all the in the holes, like in the input, so these are the inputs, and then the whole thing is the output. So in the inputs, you put tangles which can have normal crossings, and then the connection diagram doesn't have any crossings.
That's a little bit out of choice, right? You could have allowed under crossings and over crossings in the bulk. I mean, but that's what Dror said last time.
I think it would make definitions more awkward.
Mm-hmm.
So the definition of a circuit algebra, because it doesn't involve any actual crossings, it is pure combinatorics. It's very simple. So I think that's the advantage. And then it's the same for whatever you're plugging in. So moving on to W cones. So as we said, circuit algebra. And for generators,
You mentioned that the inner circles are like inputs, the outer one is an output. What happens
if I want to compute the output of plugging in a crossing and this two parallel lines, into this connection diagram, what you do is you plug them in so that they match up, and there's labels, you have to match the right leading to the right label. And then you erase the inner circles, and those lines just become like this will be one strand of this triangle.
Right. But you mentioned that if this is just combinatorial data, couldn't you do some central inversion about one of the circles and swap out the outer circle for one of the inner circles? So is the outer circle...
No, it's distinguished. Yeah, this is called the output. This is called input one. This is called input two.
Okay.
And then all the ends are labeled. This is called input end A, input end B, and so on. Like, yeah.
Okay.
I drew the picture without any labels, but they're all there. Yeah.
So, you have asked already, but for the algebra also, that if you have different diagram with no crossing, then
yeah.
It is the same.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's the same idea. You plug in pictures into pictures, and then you delete the circle and connect all the lines in the strand of your tangle. But all your connections are planar, so in your tangles you only have one kind of crossing.
So just combinatorial relation is restricted.
Yes.
Yeah.
And you sort of have to draw it, right? If I give you a combinatorial, if I give you a perfect matching on a bunch of sets,
mm-hmm.
you really have to draw it to see if it's. Everybody happy for me to move on? Okay, so generators. We have a few, and I'll kind of simplify this. So these are the main generators, and I'll actually ignore this one for now. I'll make some side comments for people who know a lot about this stuff, but I'll mainly just talk about these two. So this is a crossing, and all the generators have some sort of local topological meaning. Just like when you define tangles as a planar algebra, when you draw a crossing, what you're thinking of is two strands that go one behind the other. Now for these ones, the local topological interpretations are in four-dimensional space, or equivalently, movies in three-dimensional space, right? A movie in three-dimensional space is the same as something in four-dimensional space if you just add a time dimension and stack the frames of the movie. So this is two circles, one passes through the other, and they switch positions. Is two circles, one flies inside the other, and then they merge, and they become one circle. So I went to some dance parties with Roland, and at every dance party there's a I guess it's summer, so at every dance party there's three couples presenting their wedding dance for their wedding on Saturday or something, like just as a practice. So I'll call the vertex the marriage. They one flies inside the other, and then they become one. That's that. And then I said I would ignore this, but this is just a circle shrinking until it becomes a point, and then it disappears. And relations. They look exactly the same as some of the good old relations of knot theory, but of course they mean completely different things. write a master 2 means I have a ring and another ring, circle and another circle. The circle flies through and then it flies all the way back out. And of course that movie is homotopic to doing absolutely nothing. Rademeister 3, I sometimes do it with actual rings, but I don't have actual rings, so I will leave that as homework. And Rademeister 4 describes the interactions of vertices with crossings. So this looks like if I have a strand ahead or behind, like there's two kinds, but I'll only draw one, and then I can move that across the crossing. And just note that these are all circuit algebra relations, right? So this is the circuit algebra composition of three vertices, equal the circuit algebra composition of three vertices in a different way. This is the circuit algebra combination of a vertex and two crossings, equals the circuit algebra combination of a vertex and a crossing in a different way. Alright, and very important, so far we are just...
The second linear tag, in the middle picture there is two cycles, and the order is matters, I mean the vertex is...
There's a lot of details here that I'm glossing over, so actually in the paper we draw this with a little break in the line, and that little break in the line means that this is the circle that flies inside
and
merged, and everything is oriented, and you can switch orientations, but lots of details are suppressed for the sake of not getting out of control. All right, so over crossings commute. This is the relation that distinguishes virtual tangles, if you care about those, from valid tangles. So this basically means this is a circuit algebra composition of two crossings, and this circuit algebra diagram has a crossing in it, it's not planar. And what this means is that if, like say, this strand is circle 1 and this strand is circle 2, this means that, and this strand is circle 3, that this means that if circle 1 flies through circle 3 and then circle 2 flies through circle 3, that is the same movie as circle 2 flies through circle 3 and then circle 1 flies through circle 3. And that's that is because circles 1 and 2 can shrink a tiny little and fly through at the same time, and that's the whole thing. But if I put that strand under, I will leave it to you to convince yourself that that would no longer be true. That would be different movies. Basically, a circle flying through circle 1 and then circle 2 is different from flying through circle 2 and then circle 1. You cannot hold it like that. Okay. Now, that's not the end of the structure, though, unfortunately. It's not simply a circuit algebra. It's a circuit algebra with some extra operations. And of these, I will only mention one. So there's various orientation switches, which I will ignore. The one that I want to mention is called unzip. And this uses framing, so we just consider everything with blackboard framing. It's basically a strand doubling operation. So if you have two circles, they merge, they become the same circle, and then they split. I guess I didn't draw that vertex, but you also have a splitting vertex. Then I can unzip this, to become no merge, no split. So this movie flies inside, flies together, and then splits, comes down below. I can turn it into flies inside, flies together, and then flies apart. So it's like, instead of a marriage and a divorce, you can just hang out. Alright, and now I can state the theorem. Denoted by A, curly A, the associated gradient of W phones in that general sense that I just wrote on the board and erased. Then homomorphic expansions are in one-to-one correspondence with solutions of the Cauchy-Weierhorn equations. All right, and I think I will...
What is the filter ratio of
Wf?
What's the filter ratio of Wf?
The filtration is the ionic filtration. So take QWF. The kinds are the skeleta, so the whatever you have tangled, then take the linear combinations whose coefficients sum to zero, and then take powers of that. Oh, I promised you I would tell what a power is. So if I have a circuit algebra connection diagram with three inputs and one output, and this input is in I, and this input is in I, and this input is in I, then the output would be in I cubed. Right, so, and then just run it through the entire machine.
It seems to me that the number of real over and under crossing is a kind of quantity that is filtered for this composition. So, what are these?
No, you have a relation where you have two on one side and one on the other side.
Yeah, but filter means that maybe it becomes more.
Mm-hmm.
If you compose, the number of this real under over crossing just becomes smaller. Or could become smaller, but never becomes bigger in the composition.
Could never becomes bigger than the sum.
Yeah. And what does it mean on the right hand side for this Cauchy-Weierhorn?
Can I answer? Yeah. So the question actually has nothing to do with this topic. I mean, equally well. You can say that groups are filtered by the length of the presentation of an element in terms of generators. It's the exact same situation.
Well, let's formulate it different way. It's like in the multiple setups business, you have the filtration by the depth.
No, but I have to answer with what I'm familiar with. So again, you can filter a group by the length of words.
Yeah.
And then you can look at some associated gradient.
Yeah.
but it's not in particular, it's not particularly interesting. I don't think it has what happens when you do it to a group? I have to think, but I don't think there is anything interesting to say. So yes, there is such a filtration here too, but it doesn't lead anywhere. So actually, can somebody help me? What happens with groups?
It's a geometric theory of groups.
It's geometric theory of groups. Well, no, but what is the associated graded of a group?
It's not a group, but I'm a little bit wrong. I don't know whether I'm wrong, but the result is not a group.
Does not have a group operations, right?
Yeah, I'm not sure what went wrong in the construction, but...
So, wait, isn't it just the reverse filtration? I mean, these are increasing filtrations, and ours are decreasing filtrations. Anyway, sorry.
Okay.
Thank you. Okay, that's the theorem. I wanted to give you a basic idea. This associated gradient is described in terms of arrow diagrams. Modulo relations. So very analogous by the looks of them to Bohr diagrams in the classical setting. And I will, relations, there's several ones. There's analogs of 4T, for the four-term relation, analog, directed analog of STU, and so on. That overcrossings commute relations will mean that what we call tails commute. So if you have two arrows on a strand, you can swap them. But not for heads, so only arrow tails. And one relation I wanted to write out is called the vertex invariance relation. So if you have a vertex and you have an arrow, doesn't matter tail or head, I'll draw a head, but it's true for tails too, this equals the sum of pushing that arrow down to the two connecting strands. And then let me introduce one bit of notation. So for any skeleton, S. Is everybody comfortable with the Ritz skeleton? So if I have three circles that fly around, then the skeleton would be three lines. If I have two circles that merge, and then in addition to that I have some torus knotted around it, then the skeleton would be like a lambda, like a vertex, and the circle, and so on. So the skeleton is whatever is tangled. It's the underlying, maybe the illuminating thing to say is that a skeleton of a K-component link is the disjoint union of K-circles. It's like whatever you're knotting, whatever you're tangling, embedding. So I will denote by AS the arrow diagrams on the skeleton S, modulo relations, of course. And the key fact, maybe theorem, maybe lemma, is the fact that um, that arrow diagrams of a skeleton which is n lines. So this turns out to be a Hopf algebra. The multiplication is just stepping bottom to top. And this turns out to be isomorphic to the universal enveloping algebra of the this is going to be a bit of a mouthful, of universal enveloping algebra of the Lie algebra, which is tangential derivations of the free Lie algebra on M generators, semi-direct product with cyclic words in N letters. And I never know which way this goes, I think it's like this. And I don't want to go to the details of this, but let me give you a little picture, at least for those who are familiar with these spaces. So an arrow diagram can look like this. This is called a tree. And from a tree, you can read off a free Lie word. If I have n strands, then I just look at, label the strands by the letters x1, x2, xn. And I can read off a free Lie word, and it will actually be in the nth power of the free Lie algebra, because I can also read off which power it's in by looking at where the head goes. And here you can read off a cyclic word from an arrow diagram that looks like this. But by just following like which skeleton strand these are attached to. And it turns out those are the only two kinds of connected arrow diagrams, and connected means primitive and so. And the other crucial fact is that when you where are my erasers there? When you apply a homomorphic expansion to a W foam, what you get is an arrow diagram on the skeleton of that W foam. So basically, the skeleton information is part of the structure, and the homomorphic expansion respects it. So if you want to find the z value of, say, the vertex, that lives in arrow diagrams on this skeleton. But you have that VI relation, meaning if there's anything ending on the top one, you can push them to the bottom too. And so this is the same as arrow diagrams. This is isomorphic to arrow diagrams on just two strands. And arrow diagrams on just two strands, we just identified with that guy. So this is, in here, you basically have if you take the exponential of either on free Lie algebra on two generators in here, that's tangential automorphisms of the free Lie algebra on two generators. And those who are familiar with Cauchy-Weber knows that this is where Cauchy-Weber solutions live. So basically, from this, you get the Cauchy-Weber solution in T odd, tangential automorphisms of the free Lie algebra on two things. And the first Cauchy-Weber equation, which says that f of x1 plus x2 is the Baker-Campbell-Hausdorff series of log e to the x1 e to the x2. This is just the Riemann-Meister formulation. It's this. And the reason for that is that those x, so basically it's predetermined. It's forced that the value of a crossing is the exponential of a chord, and that's how you get some exponentials in here and an action of that. But I think that's all I want to say about this, unless somebody really wants to press me. And
can you briefly say what is theater?
What is theater? Theater is tangential derivation, so it's derivations of the Frehley algebra, so that it acts on each generator by bracketing with something.
So, depending on the generator.
Depending on the generator. So T odd is the basis conjugate odd. Okay, and I won't write but just mention that for KV2, so second equation, the Duflo series is basically the z value of that suitably interpreted. Okay, so moving on to Antonin Florian and Yusuke and the Rio story. Many people have talked about that story, so I will only recall it in very brief terms, but I want to write down the bare bones of it so that we can take a look at how it's different and how it's very similar. I mean, it's obviously very similar. Okay, so writing it through a code bracket, which requires some framing. And that goes from k pi to k pi absolute value tensor. And I have collaborated with many people on failing to answer this question. And I will credit them all. So, first, two summers ago, which was actually a winter in Sydney, Dror and I spent a month...
it was only 2.5 weeks.
2.5 weeks staring at various papers of AKKN and not really coming up with a solution. And then an undergraduate student at Sydney, third year undergraduate Hazel Brown, spent an absolutely heroic effort reading the Gina Zero paper of AKKN with me in detail. It was a bit of a "what doesn't kill you make you stronger" kind of proposition, and I'm happy to report she's still in math. Although she has stopped working with me. Anton and Florian and Dror and I spent a few days sitting in Dror's office in Toronto last summer talking about this and not solving the question. And then I started talking to Marcy and Nancy about it. And now, basically everybody but Hazel is here, and we've been talking about it for the past week and haven't solved it yet. I'd like to point out a few reasons why it's either not a very easy question or maybe just doesn't have a very good answer, who knows. And then tell you a little bit of what we have come up with, which doesn't get anywhere close to solving the problem, but maybe it's a start. So, okay, there's an obvious reason why these two things are very different. They live in completely different dimensions, right? One is curves on the surface, the other is tubes in R4, so what could they possibly have to do with each other? And there's examples in topology, in knot theory of maps that increase dimension. Maybe the most prominent, or the one at least that's most prominent to me, is this tubing map of Sato. So if you have a, say, a braid in a three-dimensional space, you can take an axis outside the three-dimensional space, spin it around, and you get a welded braid in R4. And you can do this even if you have a tangle with vertices and whatnot. And that's a very useful thing, and it does let us make a connection between knotted triangle and graphs and these W forms, and in algebra world that explains in a topological way the connection between Drinfeld associators and the KV equations. So such a thing exists, but no such thing is apparent in the context of AKKN versus our result. And then there's a whole bunch of maybe not important, maybe just annoying, but you know, once you have 10 annoying technical difficulties, they kind of start adding up and you no longer know what you're talking about. So let me mention a few technical things. First of all, this guy here, there's no good finite representation. And as a result, the nature of this bijection is different. People have written down exactly what this bijection is in previous talks, so I will not, but it's not of the form. The solution is this, the z value of this particular element. Okay, and then another annoying thing is that this guy has too many outputs. So it's not really an algebraic structure in the sense that I have defined it. Three, maybe more annoying, this filtration is the way that I set up this machine in early on in the talk. You have some algebraic structure, and then you use that algebraic structure to generate powers of the filtration. This filtration kind of comes from the outside, right? It's generated up in k pi, and then you descend it to k pi absolute value. Now these things you can get over because there's actually a version of their story which plays out in k-pi, except it's not a Levi algebra. You have a double bracket, which is a weird thing that goes from k-pi tensor k-pi to k-pi tensor k-pi, and there it's actually the iadic filtration, but then the algebraic structure is even worse. Even further from an algebraic structure, so who knows if that actually helps. Okay. And then, finally, this is not really completely true as stated. So by my notion of homomorphic expansions, these expansions are not quite homomorphic, but they have some correction terms. But this one, while annoying, it actually makes me more hopeful that we can draw a connection, because that situation also happens for knotted triangle and graphs. Knotted triangle and graphs, if you define them naively, also don't have a homomorphic expansion, and you have to do some gymnastics, adding some combinatorics. to eliminate correction terms, and their correction terms and our correction terms are both sort of Duflo functions sacred. So maybe that's a good thing. Okay, so the only thing that we have been more or less able to do, although nobody has, I think everybody in the room who's been talking about this is completely aware of this, and none of us have written it down in great detail, but we can rephrase, or probably can rephrase, this Goldman-Turek story in slightly more traditional, not theory finite time invariance terms. So I'll, in the last 10 or 15 minutes, I'll say a word about that. So in classical finite time invariance, let me just draw you a picture or write a diagram. Long knots. And A is chord diagrams on a line, modulo, you know, the usual stuff. SDU, IHX, anti-symmetry, or term. All of those follow from SDU, but the usual thing. So then there is a map, this tensor interpretation map, given a metrized Lie algebra. So here my metrized Lie algebra is going to be GLN into U GLN. Universal level of the algebra, and I think most of this audience knows how this works, and if somebody doesn't, then you can just take my word for it. And then if you choose a representation, which in this case I will choose the defining representation, then you can produce a number. And this whole thing factors through a kind of, not quotient, but a simplified version of arrow diagrams, which I will call surface diagrams. And then, parallel to this arrow, you can further simplify that to just linear combinations of compact surfaces. And then you can produce a number by taking n to the number of boundary components. So. So I'd like to show you what these surface diagrams are. And I anticipated being out of time, so I drew them in advance. All right, so first let's explain how tau 1 works. Okay, so you have some chord diagram on a line, and then you're allowed to put a little disc anywhere in the middle of the chord, and if you have two surface components connected by a cord, you're allowed to turn that into a bridge. So let's just put little discs in the middle of every single cord. And then we use these other relations called surface SDUs to simplify it to a form where you just have surfaces attached like balloons to the line with cords. So what are the surface SDUs? If you have like an SDU relation where all of the cords end on surface components, then of course you can do a normal SDU, just ending on the same surface component. But you can also turn that, and then you can use this bridging relation to see that that's like a Y minus a Y with like twists on all of the on all of the ends. And similarly, if you have an SDU relation that lives on the skeleton, of course you can do the normal SDU relation, but also that equals to this kind of bridging thing where you you can turn this into a bridge, or minus a bridge where the thing is attached on the other end, and that's of course the same as a bridge with twists on both sides. So it's very analogous to that relation. Okay, so that's the tau 1. And then what's the tau 2? I haven't drawn that fully because I wanted to show you how it works. So suppose you get to the point where you just have a bunch of surfaces and the only cords that remain are the cords that attach the surface to the skeleton. So then you take that thing, you take the skeleton, turn it purple, turn it into a circle, and attach a ball to the bottom, so attach a disc. And then turn all of these cords into bridges. Right now you have cords between purple and purple, so we can turn all of them into bridges. Yeah, tau 2 is the, yeah, I didn't write that much. Yeah, so that's tau 2. And then to produce a number, you just take n to the number of boundary components.
And you're saying it's commit.
Yes. Okay, so what to do with AKKN? I'll just cover up the SDUs. And as I said, this is not fully baked, but here's a sentence that's I think makes sense and is probably true. So now, instead of long knots, take a knot that a circle knot that lives in a pole dancing studio. So in a pole dancing studio you have these poles, they go from the floor to the ceiling, so there's no way to get around the poles. So basically, for the people who don't like pole dancing studios as much, you could just say the surface sigma times r. And let's take a knot that lives in one of these. I'll draw the simplest knot. Okay, so so then if you take the consummate integral of this picture that will have chords between the knot and the poles, and maybe chords between the knot and itself. It will not have chords between the poles because the poles are parallel. Then to take z here as the consummate integral, and then apply tau. But when you have multiple link components, you can sort of choose a representation different for each of them. So what we'll do is we'll choose the finding for the knot, and we'll leave the poles universal. By universal, I mean only choose the tau length and not choose a representation. So then, what ends up happening is that you'll have some big sum, you'll have these poles, and the knot will be turned all purple. And will be attached by cords to the poles. And if this surface is just a disk, then this is exactly a Cauchy chord. So you know, maybe we want to take the component that has maximal Euler characteristic or something. So that we just get cyclic words. Maybe we want to factor out by anything that has genus, or factor out by anything that has multiple boundary components, something like that. But you can extract cyclic words from this. Now, that's not so exciting, but if you look at the commutator, so this surface on two parallel lines, this is an algebra, you can compose this by concatenating the lines. And the commutator here what is the commutator? You want to take one of these surfaces and slide it up past another one. And what will happen is that you'll have to commute a bunch of chord endings. And to commute a bunch of chord endings, you'll have to use these STU relations, namely these ones. And that's going to create bridges and bridges connected on the other side. And that maybe reminds you of something. At some point, I think Anton and maybe also Yusika draw pictures where like you have to look for matching pairs along cyclic words, and then where you find a matching pair, you kind of build a bridge, and you either put that letter on this side or put it on that side. So that turns out to be the same thing. So here the commutator is the golden. And that is pretty much all I can say about this. That's how far it's gone. And it doesn't really make it any clearer what the story has to do with W bones, right? It's still in three dimensions. We have two kinds of strands. We have the poles and the knot. In WKO, we only have strands. So. Not necessarily a lot of progress towards explaining the answer to that question if one exists, but it's really okay. So that's all I wanted to say. Thank you. I am finishing exactly in time.
No, you're a bit ahead of time. But anyway, are there questions?
So the foams are related to BF theory, right? The physics of Cataneo atoms?
Yeah, I heard that word before.
But isn't that also related to the two-dimensional moduli space thing of Goldman?
Those are also words I heard before. I know virtually nothing about BF theory, so I can't answer your question, but if you can expand on it.
Still have 2 weeks, right?
Yeah, I think there are many people who would love to hear you expand on it.
So. Another question.
Yeah, maybe someone. Technical question. So you mentioned that for Goldman drive, the gas and those equations after conjugation. Would equations after conjugation make any sense in 4D? Well, suppose you have a KV solution after by conjugate of a KV solution. For instance, can you ever say that you only consider some closed diagrams or something, right? Conjugation usually would be killed by whatever closing.
So I'm going to say something which may well be complete nonsense. So your optoconjugation, it means that you have something in special automorphisms. And if you multiply it with something in special automorphisms, then you get an actual solution. And S-der, so special derivations, has an interpretation, and that is if you map multi-trivalent graphs into one-dimensional stuff in three-dimensional space into this W foams by Sato's tubing map, then on the algebra level that corresponds to S there. So maybe you can work that in somehow, like a homomorphic expansion up to some values of the Concievich integral, but I don't really see what sensical statement you can make.
So maybe like expanding on that question a bit, explaining this conjugation thing, I think it's some sort of related that if your disk with two holes, then at least one boundary component is sort of, say, it's special.
Mm-hmm.
Because in your picture is probably related to that your tripod, you say it's oriented.
Mm-hmm.
So is there also some sort of...
Yeah, definitely there's... Yeah, it's not the vertex, one strand is special, and that's the strand, the married strand. And the two other strands are still kind of different because one flies inside the other. But
so you cannot rotate that thing?
Yeah, you cannot rotate it.
In W forms, there are several relations, and you said that R4 in connection with KV problem, R4 corresponds to KV1, and KV2 corresponds to some other, and I think there are many more.
Yes.
OC or.
Yeah, so there are relations which just describe the interaction of the crossing with itself. And those relations, along with you want the expansion to be group-like, force that the expansion sends the crossing to just an exponential of arrows, where exponential ending formal expands the path, like prior series. Formal prior series of an arrow. Then you have two R4s. One is the one with the strand behind, and one is the one with the strand in front. And the one with the strand in front ends up being automatically true. And the other ends up being KV1. And then you have the cap relation, which is like, I haven't drawn it because I've been ignoring the cap, but it describes like, you know, if a circle flies through another one and then it disappears, then it's the same as not doing anything. And that more or less ends up being KV2. There's lots of relations, and each of them gets interpreted, and the only significant ones end up being this R4 and that cap relation.
Any further questions? So let us thank Shuji once again.